Just a friendly reminder that the opinions expressed on this show are not worth a Canadian penny, so disregard anything you hear that might get anyone in trouble. And despite some of the great ideas you may hear, don't try them at home. Go to a friend's house instead.
It's time to get a gun. That's what I've been thinking. Well, I could afford one. And if I did just a little less drinking, time to put something between me and the sun. Time to get a gun.
Hello and welcome to Slam Fire Radio, episode 109 for May 29th, 2015. I am one of your hosts, Trevor Furlot.
And Owen forgot his line.
Oh, yeah, and I'm Owen.
And I'm Matthew. Wow.
See, when you're the lead host for the following week, you go second in the intro.
Right.
He knows that.
I'm pretty sure we covered this.
We've done this so many times.
But I was reading something on Facebook. So.
Oh, well, now you're excused.
See,
the show, please leave.
I usually only lose focus around the 25-minute mark, you know, when I'm done saying what I did this week in guns. You can drift off. Well, welcome, everybody.
Thank you. Were you talking to me or the listeners?
Everybody.
Oh, good.
The royal everybody.
Right.
Including the people that are not listening.
Yeah, them too, especially them. Shame on them.
They should be listening, really.
So, how about that NFA AGM, huh?
From what I hear, it was pretty interesting.
Interesting, yeah, to say the least. I don't know, are we going to cover that later on or what?
Well, we can. Right. I mean, all we're going to be saying is what we heard on Facebook because none of us went, so.
No, I just comment on the videos in my opinion.
Right.
And if I get invited to one more NFA pub night, I'm going to vomit. I've been invited to every NFA pub night from somewhere in the middle of the woods, British Columbia, to will you organize one for New Brunswick? Thank you, Pierre. I get it.
You're drunk. Oh, wait. No, that's not what he was trying to say?
Not why he invited me. Anyway, we'll come back to that. Owen, speaking of drunks, what did you do there?
Speaking of drunks, let's talk to the guy who's never been drunk in his life. I haven't done
it. Say that like you're proud. What the heck?
I am proud.
Okay. You didn't do anything?
I haven't done anything with guns this week. I spent most of the week in Halifax, or a couple days of it, and just got back last night. But today I did propagate some comfrey and take some root cuttings, and yeah. Planted
that,
and put some up for drying, and then I started some comfrey tea, and so all kinds of great stuff, but nothing to do with guns.
I saw that on Facebook today. You were trying to peddle or smuggle or sell an ounce or a gram of comfrey. How do you sell that? Like by the brick or the kilo?
Yeah. That would be a lot of comfrey.
Wonderful. All right.
I don't know what comfrey is, so can I keep my man card or what?
You remember when I blew the calf muscle out and he was like, oh, you need to put some comfrey on that?
I don't. No.
I do. Huh. I was considering it. I was going to like rub some dandelions on it, whatever he said I was in.
Hey, Trevor, if I have some of those cuttings left, I will send them up with Matthew or get them to you somehow, and then you can start your very own comfrey plant.
Now, do you smoke that in a pipe or does it get rolled? How does this... Is it medicinal comfrey?
This is, you can do whatever you want with it. I don't care. But
tea?
They actually say don't take it internally.
Oh.
Which is kind of a little bit hogwash if you really look at the true science, but the US government says do not take it internally, it is toxic, blah 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 blah. It's really you'd have to eat like 65 pounds of it a day before it started affecting your liver.
Right.
That's the exact amount I wanted to eat.
Yeah, you know, but you can use it for salves. It's.
Are we really still talking about this?
Thank you. I'm kind of caught up in it, kind of interested, kind of going, all right, we need to move on, but it's interesting.
I will tell you one thing.
No, you won't. Let's move on.
When I had mono back in January or whenever it was, right? Everybody remembers that show.
Speakers weren't working?
Everybody had, yes, that's right. Everyone remembers that. And I had that really bad allergic reaction to the medication they gave me, and I broke out in hives from head to toe, literally. The comfrey salve that we put on it cured it.
Excellent. All right, Matthew, go ahead and mark the time. Cut all that out during editing.
Gone. It is gone.
Great. Click. So, Matthew, let me give us a new clean segue on the way. Whew. Matthew, what did you do this weekend?
What did I do this week with guns? Well, last weekend, I went over to Campbellton and visited my good buddy, Trevor. It was a good visit, eh, Trevor?
It was an excellent visit.
It was cool. And we taught a black badge.
I was there.
Had you been there, all I would have talked about is bloody comfrey, probably. Well,
I knew you weren't going to say that, so I just wanted to put it in.
You wanted to put it out there that, yeah.
That's why it was good.
Right.
Oh, and if I was to pick your favorite character from Winnie the Pooh, I'd have to go with Eeyore.
Oh, bother.
You guys had fun without me. Sorry, Matthew.
I found that hilarious. All right. So we did teach a black badge together, Trevor and I, and we had Rob was there. He was assisting with that. And
student learned something because I wasn't there.
And Jason McIntyre was there, and he did some assisting, and Harold showed up. And it was a good black badge.
Let's talk about Rob for a second. Owen, you might appreciate this. Not only is Rob a firearms instructor with the prison, he is a former MMA fighter, won a championship or whatever, and now does a lot of training and coaching. So he's trained in martial arts, instructs martial arts, but he also does weapons retention training for the prison.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been talking to Matthew about trying to incorporate him in one of our training classes so that we can up it. All right, we do some gun stuff with Tommy and then some gun retention stuff and some, you know, how do you kill a man with your bare hands and a fork with Rob kind of thing.
That'd be cool.
Spoon, because it's dull, you twit. It'll hurt more. Yeah, so anyway, stay tuned for that. We're going to work something out.
Yep. So, yeah, so Rob was cool. Like I said, the course went fine. The shooters were all... we had a wide spectrum. We had people who had shot similar style matches before. Pat, he went to the three guns, the multi guns and stuff that we've put on, and he shot some club levels, I think. So he kind of already knew what was going on. He was a good shooter. He was competent. You know, he was good. And then way down to the other end of the line where we had some shooters who just were not comfortable with guns at all yet.
And then we had one guy shooting with his toes.
One guy was literally shooting with his toes. He had severe frostbite in a snowmobile incident and lost a bunch of fingers, and so they put his toes on his hand. And so he shoots with his toes, and so when we said, finger out of the trigger guard, he says, yeah, and? toe out of the finger guard. There you go.
His trigger finger is gone.
Yeah.
He's got a toe on his middle finger, so in his strong hand, he actually holds the gun with his pinky and his ring finger, pulls the trigger with his middle toe finger and holds it then with his index and his thumb.
Yeah.
And can shoot.
Yeah, it's a good shot. He did well.
He wasn't handicapped by that at all.
No.
He got her done.
Yeah, and his wife was there, and she...
It's a very, very dirty gun.
She shot it, yeah, very dirty gun. CZ did not like to run when it wasn't clean.
And dry,
yeah. And we had a gunsmith there, too, who had not had a whole lot of experience with pistols, but being a gunsmith in the local area, wanted to know more about IPSC because he figured he'd be getting some IPSC guns in and wanted to learn more about them and figured this was a great way to do it, and he's right. So, yeah, so everybody passed. It was really good. A lot of people, I mean, they all had a lot of fun, and they all, like I said, they all passed. Everybody was really good, competent, and safe. The next day, we of course had.
Oh, sorry.
Huh? Yeah.
I got to bring it back. I was waiting to see if you were going to cover it or not. 1911.
Oh yeah, there was a 1911 there.
Yeah.
And let's just say we counted on all of our fingers and toes the malfunctions that occurred with that 1911.
We literally lost track on it.
We did.
Fairly new Ruger SR 1911, so perhaps not broken in yet. I'm not sure.
Perhaps. And here's the interesting thing, though, is he did clear the malfunctions very quickly and efficiently.
Yeah.
So it was good for malfunction.
You're used to doing it.
Exactly, Owen.
I was just going to say, it is good for malfunction practice. So there's that.
Yeah.
So we did have a 1911 there, and it did not perform perfectly, as did the Glocks. Wait, well, the Box did.
I had my first malfunction in my 2011.
Yeah, your 2011 is based on the what again?
It's loosely based on the 1911, sorta, kinda, like it's single action.
What was the malfunction you had again?
It didn't strip around off the mag. The gun. I was doing one of the demonstrations for you, and I looked down and the slide was locked open, and the round was sitting at the top of the mag, and nothing was happening. So just a quick tap and rack, and it went back in a battery and continued to go. But I don't know what caused the hang up. Whether I rode the slide stop
because could've.
I've got the gas. I used to have a gas pedal on that gun, a thumb rest, and it's gone.
Yeah, so your thumb may have just hit that.
Possible.
We'll blame it on user error.
Yeah, we'll blame it on the gun. Actually, is what we'll do because it's a 1911 and they all jam. We know that.
It's 2011 and it's the first time, and I'm blaming it on user error.
Okay.
That super high grip I have, right?
Yeah, that's it.
That's it, yeah.
All right. So, anyway, yeah, we had a match the next day, which was a lot of fun as well. Trevor, you put on some good stages there, and everybody seemed to enjoy them. There was, we used the bus stage. We ran in and out of a school, I guess it was a prison bus, isn't it?
It is a prison bus. It's not school bus yellow.
No, it is gray, and it says Dorchester on it, if I remember right.
That's correct.
And, we did not run the house or the maze, but Trevor didn't figure he wanted to, you know, I mean, there were black badge shooters there. He didn't want to overwhelm them. So that was good, actually. A good decision on his part. But I did miss shooting those two stages. They're always my favorite. But, it was good. A lot of, there was a good mix of shooting. Some long distance, some running around, some stand and deliver, some really, you know, important to drill your accuracy. You had one stage set up where there was a bunch of barrels. And I think almost every shooter ended up with a mic at one point or another because they shot through a barrel because the barrels were so close to the targets. So it was good. It was well-run stage or well-run match, and I think all the shooters enjoyed it. And again, everybody was safe and proficient. And so, like I said, everybody passed. So it was good. It was a good match.
I was kind of concerned they were going to be too anemic because I'm trying to keep the construction simple. These will eventually get turned in SummerSlam stages.
Right.
But if I stand back and of course you are your own worst critic, right? Like,
of course.
I design them, so I'm picking them apart. They always look so much cooler on paper. And then when you build them, it's like, oh, yeah, I guess 4 feet is not as long as I thought it was. That's really a step. <You know? laughs>
when you design them and build them yourself, you know them kind of inside out, so they are seem simpler than someone just walking up to them.
You know what, you say that, but I'll come back to that in a second. There's two stages that something happened that I wasn't expecting. But looking at the stages, I guess they were okay in the sense that I tested some of the things that we want to test during a black badge. There was barricade shooting, there was prone shooting, there was kneeling. I didn't work in any weak hand or strong hand like I had in the past. That was just my own fault for not writing it into a stage description or coming up with a prop to force them to do that. But there is weak hand and strong hand shooting in SummerSlam. So the stages were challenging in a sense that they tested the skills that we teach in Black Badge. And I tried to throw in some challenging shots, some distance on steel and some distance on paper. There was a little bit of memory stage in there. There was some close shots. There was some far shots. So they weren't super dynamic, but I think they had the balance that we're supposed to go for, so I can live with that. And now, Owen, you said I designed them. So you figure, yeah, I designed them so I know how to solve them, you know, where the best place to start is and where you're going to make your transitions and stuff like that. On the bus stage, I messed up the round count. It was supposed to be six out of one window, four to the next window, skip the two windows altogether in the middle. On the last window, six out of the first window on the left, four out of the first window on the right, skip the center windows, six out of the last window on the left, and four rounds out of the last window on the right. And I went 6, 4, 4, and 4. Oopsie. Yeah. But luckily, when the other squad got there, the wind had ripped off the no-shoots. And we could not for the life of us figure out where the last note
was. Yeah, it was really hard to figure it out, right? Oh, guys, I guess we're all going to have to reshoot this. Darn.
It was, Matthew. Uh-huh. We spent 5 minutes.
5 seconds.
Trying to, no,
about we really, seconds.
Whatever. Anyway, yes, luckily we got the reshoot gods were in our favor. I was faster than Harold, but he had 4 more points. So the time difference and the point difference, he ended up getting it. So,
and on that stage, but not for the match. You did get him in the match.
I got him in the match, yeah.
Yeah.
On the one other stage, I didn't realize I could eliminate a shooting position until I was ROing somebody, and I was standing in a location where I went, wait a second. If I stand here, I can see that array and this array.
Yep.
Excellent. So then when the timer went, I fell off the fault line, and my foot was on the ground. I didn't want to start shooting until I regained my footing so I didn't get procedurals. And so whatever time I saved from not having to change shooting positions, I lost trying to regain my balance. So anyway, I'm glad you liked it, Matthew, is what I was trying to say.
Right, yeah, that was a very wordy way of saying that, however.
I am a wordsmith.
You are a something smith. Other than that, the other really, you know, awesome highlight of the weekend, and it really was the pinnacle of a really, you know, high adrenaline rushed kind of weekend. This was like up there. So Trevor's Model 29. Not only did I get
you dropped it,
I didn't. You don't know. I did get to hold it. So there's that. But you don't, like, I took my wedding ring off before I took the gun because I did not want to scratch it in any way. I did not want to anything it. And so Trevor hands it to me. And when I'm touching it.
Matthew cheated on his wife with Trevor's,
Gun, basically. But my hand, I think I left a fingerprint on the blue, like on the steel, because Trevor's like, just touch the wood grip. Like, sorry, man. He goes, yeah, no, just touch the wood grip. I'm going to have to polish that again now. So Trevor's like, his vein is throbbing in his forehead as I'm touching this gun. And my heart's pounding because I'm like, oh my gosh, if I drop this thing, Trevor will basically just kill me. That's going to be it.
You want to hold my newborn? Sure. Here. And you throw it, right? Like, here, catch.
Yeah.
You want to hold my what? My 29? Get out of my house.
Get out of my house, basically.
If I ever get a chance to get anywhere near it, I'm going to lick it.
Oh, see,
yeah. See, now you're just never even going to see it now.
That's right. It's going to go into a safety deposit box when I know you're coming over.
Yeah,
my 29's not here.
Yeah, it just wasn't there for Owen. But it was cool. It was nice to hold it. It was, thank you for letting me hold it. So I hand it back to him very gingerly and carefully, and he's dry firing it. He goes, "Oh man, you gotta feel this trigger." And he hands it back and says, "Yes, you can dry fire it." And so I got to dry fire it, and. And this is really the only way I can describe how the trigger felt. If you found a unicorn and then you milked it and took that milk.
The raw milk on
the raw milk and you churned it into butter and you applied that butter to all of the grease fittings and stuff in that gun. And then you squeezed that trigger and it was, oh, it was heavenly. There were rainbows. Harps were playing. It's got a really nice trigger for a really old gun.
It has a better trigger than what my new Model 29 had.
It does, yeah. And it's going to just get better as it gets used.
I think so, yeah.
It's just going to get even more buttery. It was very, very nice. So that was really cool. I really enjoyed that part of the trip. That made the trip for me, really. Well, I mean, besides, you know, getting to see Trevor and teaching a black badge and, you know, shooting a match, whatever.
And winning. You know, won your match.
Oh, that's true. I did win. Yes, that's right. So that was fun too. I mean, I don't want to say there wasn't really a whole lot of competition there. There was, but I'm not going to be super proud of that win until, you know, Matt Lorette and Mo Hepworth are there too.
Yeah. Yeah. So. I mean, if you don't mind me saying, you know, it was clearly your first match of the year.
It was. Oh, yeah. I was rusty for sure. Yeah. My points were down and my times were okay. But my points were down. I need more alphas.
Yeah, you were focused definitely more on your feet than your front sight.
Yep.
So, but we had a little pep talk there.
We did. And my last two stages tightened up the groups really nicely. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, just focusing on that front sight.
Now, if you're finished, I'll go ahead and jump into what I did. Because,
yeah, go for it.
Well, I'm surprised that you said the highlight of the trip was the 29. I thought for sure it would have been shooting archery with me.
Well, we shot archery?
We shot archery.
That does not sound like me.
Well, it was you. And, we had two bows, two traditional bows, both traditional recurves, and, brought them out, gave you one, and I took one, and, showed you, a couple of little pointers on how I shoot traditional bow, and you tried it my way and kind of
I missed completely. But you said that was normal, and I did try it my way right after and hit, but then I went right back to your way again. And well, I just adjusted my form, and it got better. And your way is definitely way more consistent, and that will be the way I shoot.
The problem with the reason why people shoot high when they switch to my way is because I'm giving you an anchor point where most people shoot traditional archery. They kind of hold their hand on the side of their face. Some people will put their middle finger in the corner of the mouth or their index finger in the corner of the mouth. And it's not drawing the bow as far as it could be drawn. And sometimes you don't put your hand in the corner of the mouth and it floats up and down, where I get you to anchor under your jaw, much like an Olympic archer would.
Mm-hmm.
And in doing so, that kind of brings the front half of your shot up. So it takes a little while, a couple of shots, to get used to the new eye-hand coordination and learn to bring your arm down. And that's why you ended up going over top of it. But in fairness, that block you shot at was, what, 2x2?
It wasn't very big, no.
Yeah, so we were about 10 yards away.
And then, yeah, and like you said, towards the end of the shooting session, I was hitting pretty close to where I wanted to hit. So it did start to come together, but it does take some time for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, it was fun. We're just flinging some.
Well, fun is a word you could use, I suppose.
You had fun.
I didn't hate it.
There you go. So that's fun.
That's something.
So, what else did we do? Well, I helped you teach the Black Badge. Yeah.
Right.
And, I say helped you teach because you were lead instructor on this one. This was your final one, and your paperwork will go in the mail on Monday with the paperwork from the students and from the class I'll be teaching this weekend in the Miramichi. And you are now a certified, Black Badge instructor and a certified chief range officer. You got all your requirements done for that as well. So.
Yep.
It was a big McClatchy weekend as far as certifications go. I forgot to give you your certificate. I'll print that up and embarrass you with it at the charity shoot.
Oh, good. I love it when you do that.
Yeah. So, like you, won my match, which is cool.
Yes, you did. You did very well.
Had to take on my nemesis.
Yes, you did. And you beat him.
Yeah. 97% of me, which is, close enough.
Yeah, that's pretty close.
Yeah. So, and I think the next guy after that was in the 80s, that was Remy. Remy had a challenging day. But the only thing holding Remy back is Remy, and that's okay. When Remy learns to get over that, we're in trouble. But luckily right now for us, he's all caught up inside his head. So I'm going to leave him there for a while.
Perfect. That's where he should be, just so you can continue to win.
Exactly. Luckily he doesn't listen to podcasts, so he has no idea about the mental training stuff that Brian and I have been doing. So we're going to keep it that way. What else? Oh, I don't know if I talked to you guys about this before. There was a DFO here in New Brunswick bought a whole bunch of IPSC steel targets, poppers, plates, swingers, drop turners, stuff like that. And they were told, DFO, for those who don't know, is the Department of Fisheries and Oceans. They had some money in a budget one year, didn't know what to do with it, and bought a whole bunch of IPSC steel props. And then we're told, incorrectly, that you're not allowed to shoot steel on a range in New Brunswick. And this stuff got mothballed, tossed in storage, and stayed there for the better part of 10 years until somebody found out about it, bought it all. And then this guy started to sell it off to IPSC clubs in New Brunswick. And I was told that the plates were AR-500 steel. So I'm like, yes, I will get 10 of these plates and we'll use them for IPSC rifle matches or three-gun matches. Unfortunately, tests have proven that they are not an AR-500 steel. I set two of them up at 50 meters and shot them with my STI AR with Norinco ammo. And we're not talking a dimple, we're talking a crater.
Yeah, that's not AR-500 then.
No way, no how.
Well, that's too bad.
Yeah, I mean, somebody had tested one. Anyway, he took one and he tested it from varying distances with a 223. Wolf 62 grain. Well, what do we know about that Wolf 62 grain? It's steel core. No issue. Dimple. Or barely a scratch. So I don't get it. Maybe some of the plates were AR-500, some of them weren't. Anyway.
Yeah, that is strange because the steel core stuff you would think would make definitely a bigger hole than just lead.
How big of a plate was it?
Not big. 4x4.
Okay. And how was it cut?
You're right. You know what?
Because if you cut it with a torch or anything like that, the heat from the process of it, even the plasma cut, will will soften it, and it will not be as hard.
You're right. We talked about this because the Ipsic poppers that he has are the old school poppers, and I passed on those, and I said, if we get those, we're going to have to cut the heads off them to use them and get them reshaped to the right diameter for to be legal for Ipsic, and we can't cut them with anything other than a water jet. And looking at these plates, Owen, that should have been my first clue. These weren't cut on a water jet.
Yep.
You can see the cut marks in them.
Yep. No, that's I almost guarantee you that's what it is. Because we've been approved for permanent steel here at the Woodstock Range, and so there's some guys building plates to take down and hang up. And there's a couple like spots with hooks where they can, if they have chains attached to their plates, they can hang them up while they're there. And one of the guys was commenting on that. He shot it right near the edge on purpose with a really big caliber rifle, and it did put kind of a crater ding in the side of it, and right on that edge. But when he shot it with the same caliber in the middle, it was fine. But it was like a big 12 by 12 plate or something like that. So
Jason Burns bought a, it's about an 8-inch round circular plate. He got it from Canada Ammo. It's AR 500 steel. I think he paid $80 for it. And that's been hanging up at the 200 meter line on our range for a while now. And I've hit it with 223, 7.62 by 39, 30-06, nothing.
Yep.
Not a mark. Maybe a dimple. So when it's, true AR 500, you can tell. What else did I do? On that particular day, John came out with me, John Allen, and we ran some Mozambique drills with my MMP-9. So that was lots of fun. Then we had a SummerSlam meeting. We're having a bit of an issue with food. We can't find anybody to cook or provide food for the match, so that's kind of scary. And then I loaded up some 9mm and some 44 Magnum. I sorted, oh my god, the RCMP were on the range, and I was lucky enough to acquire all the brass. Plus, I had other brass from another training day, and there was thousands and thousands of pieces of brass that I hadn't. I was just taking everything home since April and dumping it into a bucket, plus all the other stuff. There was a contractor here on Wednesday installing a heat pump, and I spent the whole day sorting brass, literally. Like, it was crazy.
Wow.
And,
About that that guy who came and he likes guns too,
because
he's like, oh, you like guns, and you're like, yeah, and he's like, well, I got an SKS.
Yep. So I asked him to leave. he's talking to me about the time that he got stopped by the forest rangers, and they told him he wasn't allowed to shoot with full metal, or wasn't allowed to hunt with full metal jacket ammo, and what's that about, and bullet's a bullet. Oh, man. My scope mount on my SKS won't stay tight, so I can't get the scope sighted in. And you probably said lined in. I can't line in my scope.
Oh, that's funny.
He was working on my panel. I'm like, please, please electrocute yourself, please. No such luck. SKS owners live forever. All right. Shall we move on to upcoming events, gentlemen?
Yeah, we probably should.
Yeah, because we beat it to death. And by we, I mean me. The fifth annual charity shoot will be June 27th. We just got word maybe that there's some trophies coming from some guy who used to podcast, and now he's, well, come on, man. He's like the lame duck of podcasters. How hard is it to record something, Anderson? Really? And how hard is it to come down here and be with us? But I don't judge.
He's sending some pretty cool trophies. We haven't seen them yet, but he's described them to us, and they're going to be a lot of fun to hand out.
Well, and apparently there are going to be some awards, like some categories.
Yes.
Like People's Choice Awards, only we're the people.
We're the people. So there's a Matthew's choice and a Trevor's choice and an Owen's choice. I choose Owen. Owen should choose Trevor, and Trevor should choose Matthew.
And then we all get
a prize.
And you get the Warning Shot Award.
There's a Warning Shot Award, yep. And there's a bunch of them. It's going to be fun.
Yep. And just a reminder that all the proceeds for this event are going to a local charity, the Dalhousie Nursing Home Foundation, who former club president Chris Kingston is the president of. Cost is $25. Registration will be at 9 a.m. My lovely wife will be there to take registration. After all, she will be in attendance. Thank God.
And we should know, June 27th is less than a month away right now.
Yes. Yes, it is. So
this is coming up quick. People should be starting to pack.
Sticks, I don't know what this craziness about your birth certificate is, but you still don't have a passport. I got a bottle of cherries downstairs soaking in some kind of form of alcohol with your name on it. and I really don't want them. So come
on. He doesn't have his passport yet?
Something about a birth certificate. I don't know.
Wow. So I guess Edith's coming.
Edith is coming by herself, and that's fine. She can just spend the whole time with my grand. She can share a bed with the grand, whatever. It's all good.
Yeah.
There's been a bit of a development. We're adding a second charity, if you will, to the charity shoot. Chris Kingston, again, former president of the club and one of my mentors and the president of the Dalhousie Nursing Home Foundation. His son-in-law, unfortunately, has a form of lung cancer. We talked about this briefly on last week's show or the week before. And there'll be a lot of trips back and forth to Quebec for treatment. And so there are some fundraisers going on to help with the expenses for that. So the gentleman's name is Claude Martel. So Claude and his wife will actually be in attendance to run the barbecue for the charity event. And all the proceeds from the barbecue will go to Claude and his family to help with the expenses related to his cancer treatment. Plus, I think we'll also have a separate donation can on hand. So please come to the charity shoot and please come with an appetite so that we can help Claude and his family kind of cover the costs and their time of need right now. So just a little something, a little extra information there for you to keep in mind. He's also a police officer in the city of Bathurst. And, so, you know, he's one of the good guys. So if you can come out and help out, it would certainly be appreciated. Other upcoming events, the para course with Tom Nelson, July 3rd, IDPA match on July 4th. Okay, where are we with this? Is there one spot, or was that one spot finally taken?
I don't know. Let's just tell people to call Tom, and Tom will know. Yeah,
that's it. If you're interested,
because he's in charge of that.
Carbine Vitals 2, or is it Carbine?
Carbine.
Like Combine?
Combine and Carbine, not Combine and Carbine. Yeah. I'm kidding. You can call it whatever you want, like especially if you come into the course.
Carbine, Combine, and Carbine. Anyway, there's a rifle clinic on September 4th and 5th. This is a two-day clinic. We have 7 spots available, right? So your name may be on a list, but you haven't paid, so guess what? You're not really on the list. There's 7 spots open because some people haven't paid, and we've added spots. So get it together. If you want in, snatch up your spot. Secure your spot while you still can. Last year's course was awesome. This year's course will be epic. 2 days.
Yes, absolutely. It's going to be fantastic. I cannot wait to go do this.
Me either. To sign up, call Daniel at Thunderbird Tactical at 1-316-613. There's a dyslexic's nightmare.
Oh, yeah.
2336. I'm lucky I got those right. Or is it 613-3132? No, I'm just kidding. It's 1-316-613-2336.
Perfect. No one will forget that.
No, of course not.
They can rewind, though, if they need to.
Yeah. Well, what's easier to remember, 316 or 316?
316.
Or 613 or 613.
Or what's the next thing we're going to do?
2336. SummerSlam, August 8th and 9th. Registration is now open. 14 spots left. 16 stages, 14 squads, 126 competitors. Happy time goodness. Level 3 IPSC. T-shirt orders. Money's been rolling in.
Yep, money is coming in. The rest of it should... Now, here's the thing. If you're coming to the charity shoot and you're American, because Americans don't do this EMT thing. They're like, what's an EMT? So... if you're American and you're coming to the charity shoot, don't bother sending me any money. Just pay when you get here. Everybody else, send an EMT, please. $25 to slamfireradio@gmail.com. The deadline is over. It's passed. So if you want a shirt, too bad. Wait till next year.
If you're an American and you're not coming, just give your money to Stacy, and Stacy will mail it to you when she gets home at her expense. She's good like that.
No, I forgot to mention, if you're an American and you're not coming to the charity shoot, you can just mail me a check. A personal check is fine. I don't care. Just mail me a check, and when the shirts come in, I'll just be mailing them out. So
$25 US.
Yeah, for you, US, definitely. Yes. I'm kidding. It's still 25 Canadian. Whatever that works out to, like $22.50 or something. I don't know.
We can if money is a... Like, mail shipping cost is an issue. We can always mail it from my post office box in Holton.
That's true. Yep.
Might save a little bit of money on international shipping.
Right, which you probably would, because I think it's like $15 to ship it. And it's like $3 to ship it in Canada. It's $15 to ship it to the States. Crazy.
Finally, we have a new item this week. There will be a NFA Range Safety Officer course on June 13th in Dalhousie, New Brunswick. That's my home club town. For more information, contact Andrew Barr at andrew.barr, with two R's, B-A-R-R, 26 at gmail.com if you'd like to register. Cost is $50. We start at 9 a.m. We do part of it in the classroom and then part of it at the gun range. So if you would like to become an NFA certified range safety officer so you can run a rifle range, a shooting line, that sort of thing. A lot of clubs require certified range officers. So if you're in our area and like to take part, send Andrew an email and get yourself registered.
Cool.
And now the news. We don't have a lot of news. Just,
we really don't. Just sort of a recap of the AGM, which sort of took place just after we recorded last week's show.
Yeah, and New Shooter Canada covered it. They did a good job. They had the co-host of the new Quebec Pro or Pro Gun podcast. I can't remember what it's called. Jazz and John, I think his name is. So New Shooter Canada covered, basically they covered the AGM because they had somebody on who was at the AGM. So
I should listen to that then. I normally, look, I say I don't
John
listen,
Fitzgerald.
But
John Fitzgerald is the gentleman's name. Him and Jazz are going to be doing their own podcast. John is coming to the charity shoot. And so John did an excellent job recapping what he saw when he was there.
That's cool.
I just want to give an opinion. We were asked to talk about this and what we thought and blah, blah, blah. There's a whole, you know, what happened is what I thought would happen. I thought that King Sheldon would shut everything down from the table. He got the lawyer to come up and tell everybody why they were wrong. I knew this was going to happen. I knew that no matter how prepared they thought they were, I knew that he would not allow anything to come from the floor, and he didn't. So as much as their hearts were in the right place and they put a lot of time and a lot of effort into it, it was all wasted. They say, oh, well, now the lawyers have a lot to work with. I think the lawyers and the lawsuit is pointless at this point. There's an election coming up in the fall. Relax. Put your energy into finding people to run against him. And
yeah, but is that really going to do any good? I mean, he's ignored every other attempt or
he can,
way
he
of getting.
Ignore, he can't ignore an election.
Well, here's the thing, though. There's speculation. Sure? There's speculation that Rod Giltaka was very, very close to winning, and some people say maybe he should have won.
Yes.
And so maybe there is some shenanigans going on in that front, too. Maybe it won't be possible to vote in somebody else. I don't know.
Well, I mean, you know, the elections, no matter what, like, if Sheldon wins the next election, then somebody will find some rule somewhere. Some lawyer will demand a recount, whatever. This election will be run by the letter of the law if somebody other than Sheldon has a say. But as we know, nobody gets to have a say in Sheldon's world, so that's the answer. Just you can't kick him out. Vote
you got to vote him out. Yeah,
that's it. So stop. You know, pub nights and get-togethers are awesome, but they're really. I hope they're getting together to discuss the upcoming election because I really think that's where the energy needs to be right now.
Yep, I can't disagree with that.
So, anything else on that?
It did sound like there was a pretty good crowd. I mean, it sounded like
there was 100 people. Wasn't,
yeah. Well, but I mean, as far as numbers, I mean, if you look at it as being pro-Sheldon or anti-Sheldon, there was a pretty good group there that was against.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like the numbers there are for an election. The numbers are there. It's just motivating them and getting them out.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, if we had 60 people there up in arms, that probably could equal like, you know, 6 or 16,000 nationwide. I mean,
yeah.
So, I think it's time for whoever's going to run against them to start campaigning, you know, make sure that they get nominated correctly and all that good stuff ahead of time and campaign effectively. And now, and I, you know, either Claude or Rod, just it's time. And I don't understand why if I had that many people, even if it didn't represent the majority of the members. I mean, most NFA members don't know who Sheldon or Sean or Tracy or Erica are.
Yeah.
But the ones who do want them gone. I mean, you can't swing a stick without hitting an anti-Sheldon member right now. So I wouldn't stay. It would take a lot less effort for me to understand that I'm not wanted and to pack up my bags and go and say, you know, all right, fine. Best of luck. Run it without me. A lot of people think that he's going to burn it to the ground because he's going to fight tooth and nail to stay in a position that nobody wants him in.
Yeah, it is an odd situation for sure.
Yeah, so, and then, you know, you got people complaining about the CSSA. But the Minister of Public Safety is going to have a pre-recorded speech played at the CSSA AGM only because he can't make it in person.
So well, that's good. Yeah, I mean, so they're doing something. It may be behind the scenes, but they are doing something.
No politician wanted to speak at the NFA AGM.
Nope.
So, not that all right. Main topic. Are we ready?
Yeah, let's do this.
All right. So this week's main topic is, and a big shout out to Brian Bolivar for this. This was his idea. So way to go, Brian. Why buy a polymer pistol that isn't a Glock?
You don't. Next.
So, well.
No, really, next.
Okay. Let's talk about Glocks. Glocks, for the most part, come in all shapes and sizes if you live in the United States. In Canada, they come in big and extra big.
That's basically it, yeah. Big and extra big.
You got the 17 and the 20 and the 21, right? You can get a 19, but then it's got that silly little stub sticking out of the end. It's like an uncircumcised gun with a little butt hanging off the end. I don't know what that's about, but it's not the 19 that we would like to have. And if you've ever seen a 26...
Really, how much difference does that little barrel piece sticking out make a difference?
Honestly, it doesn't. I mean, my Steyr falls in that category. The American Steyr and the Canadian Steyr is like the American 19 and the Canadian 19.
Right.
You don't notice it. You won't notice it in a holster either. There's a guy going to run his black badge this week with a 19. So we get the 19, we get the compact, the full size, and then the extra full size when you get into the 20 and the 21. Even if you get the 21, the slim frame, still a big.
Well, and then there's the 34s and 35s, the long slides.
Right, and the 41, yeah.
Yeah.
So there are Glocks.
We have a selection.
Of essentially the same gun, just in different sizes. Glocks have only, you had to get to Gen 4 before you could get a reversible magazine release. You had to get to Gen 4 before you could get interchangeable backstraps. There's no ambidextrous slide release option. The factory sights are plastic and lame unless you get a set with factory Trigicon night sights. That's a huge step up from the factory white plastic dot sights. But they all have the same grip angle.
Yep,
right.
They do. They don't really change that, do they?
No.
I mean, there is sort of the difference between the 21 and the 21SF. There's a bit of a difference there, but the grip angle doesn't really change. It's just how thick the grip is.
Yeah. So why buy a gun that's polymer, strike-fired, and not a Glock? And I think the answer is because maybe you're looking for features that Glock doesn't offer. You may be looking for a price point that Glock doesn't offer. Glock has gone way up in price.
They really have.
It's $800 now for a Glock 17. What the hey? That's a lot of money for a duty pistol.
Especially after you've read the book, Glock, America's Gun, or whatever that was called, and you realize it only costs like $120 to make a Glock.
Yeah, that's on the high end probably.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if you're looking...
Yeah, they used to be you bought a Glock because it was cheap.
Yeah, well now you buy a Glock because of the name. It's a Glock, and so it's awesome. Well... It is, but I don't know if it's $800 awesome.
Well, that's it. Not when I look at my FNS9 long slide. Generally, the long slide pistols cost more. The M&P Pro costs more than the M&P. The 34 and the 35 cost more than the 17. You look at the FNS, three magazines, interchangeable backstraps, $655.
Yeah. Yeah, no, if I did not own a Glock now and I was in the market for a polymer striker fired, I probably wouldn't go with a Glock, only because of the price. I'm a penny pincher by nature, and I would probably be looking at an FN or maybe a Steyr, something that's, a little bit better priced. What did the Steyr go for again, Trevor?
The new Steyrs are in the $700 range.
Okay, so they're close to a Glock anyway. Yeah. But that FN was good value for its money for what you get.
Great gun. I'm up to 600-ish rounds without a hiccup.
Nice.
The Ruger. Like you looked at this Ruger and you looked at the serial number and went, that's a generation newer than mine. Still was. Trigger's improved.
Trigger is fantastic on yours.
So I guess you would buy a polymer striker gun that would offer features that the Glock doesn't. Let's
start with the obvious one, an external safety.
Yeah, if for some silly reason you feel the need for an external safety, then yeah, Ruger, SR9, bang, got it.
Yep.
FN will come with or without one. That's the 4-inch model, which we don't have yet. I don't know if you can get a 5-inch long slide with a safety or not, but I know in the States you can get the 4-inch either or.
I think it's sort of silly to have an external safety on a firearm that has the trigger pull of a Glock. If it's striker fired and it's not already cocked, you know, you have at least 5-pound trigger pull unless you've tweaked it.
I think it's, you know what, the RCMP had their Smith & Wesson customized to suit their needs for a reason. And one of the features they opted to take off of the gun was an external safety.
Yeah.
And why is that? Because in the panic of a gunfight, they don't want to forget to disengage it.
That's right. You just want to point and click. That's all you want to be able to do.
I don't think any duty firearm should have a safety on it. I think it's a duty firearm. If it's something that you're carrying, you should train and train accordingly. And, yeah, safeties on duty guns don't make sense. Generally,
well, really, I mean, when you think about it, that gun should never come out of the holster
unless it's
going to shoot it. If you're going to shoot it, you don't need a safety.
That's right. It's coming out because it's go time. The go button has been pressed. And it's time to, you know, put metal over meat and make bad people stop what they're doing. And you just can't waste time disengaging a safety or accidentally re-engaging. You get in a tussle. Somebody's fighting for your gun. Your safety gets put on and you get a chance to engage. And, safety's on. I didn't know it was on. No, you can't mess around with that stuff. No safeties. So, but let's say you want ambidextrous controls. Right. Go to the SIG. The SIG had ambidextrous slide lock, reversible mag catch. The SR9, ambidextrous mag release right out of the box. The FN, ambidextrous mag release right out of the box. Grip angles. Maybe you want a polymer striker fired gun. I think the one thing that people complain the most about the Glock is the grip angle. All the other polymer striker-fired guns that I have right now all have different grip angles, with the exception of the Steyr. The Steyr is the closest. It's like the Glock, but even more so. And then you look at the SIG and the Ruger. They're kind of 1911 type.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're more vertical.
Yeah. So I guess it basically comes down to if the Glock doesn't have the features that you want or the Glock doesn't fit your hand. Just because you want striker-fired doesn't mean you need to buy a Glock.
That's true. I mean, there are other striker fires out there, obviously. I know we tout Glock here quite a bit, but I think it's because we all already own one, and we do understand that they are great guns, but there are other ones out there that are good.
And then there's a lot of new... I mean, again, Glock has probably it's been around the longest, pretty much, right? It's the first mainline polymer pistol.
You're right. It's not the first one, but it's the first mainline one.
But it's the first mainline one, and then there's Smith & Wesson, and now just, you know, these other companies are kind of jumping on board... And really starting to push it. And it's a lot of it, I think, is just people just don't know the other names. They think SIG and they think, you know, this classic steel framed, you know, the classic SIG P226, you know, or they think whatever other gun you want to name. And they think, you know, they think the classic pistol that is known, you know, that made by that company. And it's just going to take some time for these other pistols to get out there, and people to use them and then for them to become known, you know, either through word of mouth or advertising or whatever.
Yeah, I think the M&P has caught on in a big way. Probably if I had to hesitate a guess or speculate and say which one was the main competition for the Glock, I would go M&P.
And the only thing that I don't like about the M&P is the trigger reset.
It's long, yep. But
that's it. It's mushy is the thing. It's not distinct. I know there's a kit that you can get to the Apex.
Yeah,
but here's the thing. I can't run that in production in IPSC. I need factory. And from the factory, I just don't like the reset. It is more comfortable to hold.
But if you were not concerned about IPSC, if it was a carry gun, they make two. They make a competition Apex kit and they make a duty Apex kit.
Now, would that stand up in a court of law? It's not factory parts.
It's not factory parts, but it's not homemade back, or you know, it's not backroom gunsmithing either.
Right. It was manufactured and marketed as a duty kit. So yeah,
it's not. So you as long as it there with a grinder.
I think it's what Mass says is as long as it doesn't reduce the trigger pull, right?
Yeah.
So anyway, maybe.
Yeah. And if, you know, and if the manufacturer says, you know, if you carry this gun for self-defense, don't go below such and such, then.
Then that's the limit, yeah.
Find that stuff out, yeah.
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 Well, that's, I don't know. What else can we say about that, really?
I don't know that we can, really. It comes down to if you like striker-fired guns and you like polymer guns, because they are the best. It's not a secret. Everyone knows that. If you don't, you're a communist.
Especially if you shoot one of them Tokarev things.
Yeah. It's Tokarev.
I don't know.
I don't know either, and I don't care. Try them out and find the one that fits you the best and that you shoot the best.
That's what I was going to say. I was going to say, look, if you got a chance to shoot before you buy, try before you buy, do it. Shoot an M&P, shoot a Glock, shoot a Smith & Wesson, shoot a Steyr and a SIG and all of them. Try as many as you can. Find the one that fits your hand the best and go with that one.
And there's a couple more I'd like to get. I'd like to get my hands on a Walther and a HK VP9 if we ever get it. The strike one I've tried. I don't really think I want that one. It's kind of cool. It's expensive, but out of all of the striker fired guns that I've been playing with over the last year, I'm still taking the Glock out to the Tommy class when it comes to training.
Yep.
Still going
to
be the Glock.
The Glock's the way to go. I think it's got the best name for reliability and for simplicity. I just think it's the one to go with.
If I could carry it, it would be the Glock. So when I'm in a training environment with an instructor, I want it to be the Glock.
Yep.
If I hadn't sold the SIG P320, I would have ran that in the training class because out of all the other guns that I got, that one is the one that is, to me, in my mind, the next best thing to my Glock, perhaps better. I mean, no question, the trigger's better.
Right.
Reliability, accuracy, they're all there. Ergonomics, they're all awesome. The only issue is we know
flipperosity. Yeah.
So.
All right, then.
Yep.
Well, shall we move on to listener feedback, then?
Sure. You want to get the first one?
From Terry. Hi, guys. I sent an email a couple of months ago asking for your input on which subcompact would be the best for concealed carry. Thank you for writing a Canadian podcast, by the way, for advice on what to carry for concealed carry, because we can't do that up here, but we are really the go-to experts on what you should carry. So, thank you. Thank you.
Well, actually, it was interesting because if you remember when she wrote the show, it was when George, the ogre, the mad ogre, was on, and right. So he was able to make some
actually
suggestions.
Some actual good suggestions, because you can't rely on us for anything when it comes to concealed carry. Well, maybe Trevor. He did go to Mass 40. Mag 40.
Mass 40. Yes, but I did not I didn't conceal while I was there.
But you did open carry.
That's what the rumor is. I don't know.
Yeah. All right. Anyway, she continues on. Is it a she?
Yes, it is a she.
Okay, it's Terry with an I. So I think that's sometimes the key. We always have problems with names on the show. We don't
know.
Could
this be Thomas's wife, perhaps?
It might be. Okay.
Is she American?
Anyway.
Living in America?
It continues on. Thank you for discussing it on the show. The information you provided was beneficial. I finally made a decision, and I am very happy to report that I am the proud new owner of a Glock 43.
Yeah, not Terry Donnelly.
No, not Terry Donnelly. No. A Black Mamba in the waistband holster and a Sidewinder double mag holder. I have been carrying it for a few days now, and I'm finding it very comfortable to have on. I realize that the 43 was not one of the handguns that I asked you about, but as soon as I held it, I knew it was the gun for me. I tried 5 subcompacts and was able to quickly eliminate 3 of them. The 4th one was a Ruger, which I really liked until I picked up the Glock. See, and that just goes to show that trying before you buy is the way to go. You really don't know if a gun's going to fit you until you shoot it. So, anyway, she continues, it fits so well in my hand, loads easily, and slides smoothly. I had Trigicon sights added, and I am now a very happy carrier. Thank you again for your time and for the great show. Keep up the good work. And that's from Terry B. So thanks, Terry, for writing us and letting us know what you got. I am jealous. I think the Glock 43 would be a great gun to play with and shoot and carry and all that other fun stuff. But, not to be up here.
I don't... I don't understand the obsession. I think people wanted a single stack 9 just because they wanted a single stack 9.
Right.
And no sooner did it came out, some people were criticizing it. And I'm like, wait, aren't you the same people that bellyached year after year at SHOT Show? Still no single stack 9 from Glock. Still no single stack 9 from Glock. It comes out and they start complaining about it.
It's too small. It's too narrow. Wait, wasn't that what you wanted?
Yeah. Give your head a shake.
People just like to complain, Trevor.
Oh, man. I'm glad Terry likes it, but a single stack 9? Have you seen that? Like, what's better than a 26? I don't.
It's thick. It's hard to hold on to. Maybe she has small hands.
The 26 is no thicker than a 19.
Yeah, and maybe she has small hands and can't hold a 19 properly.
Anything thinner is going to conceal better, right?
Yep.
And you got to remember, Glock is also competing with things like the Shield, which is known to be a fairly thin firearm. And so that's another option, right? For people who say, oh, well, I want to carry a Glock, but they don't have anything thin enough.
The Kel-Tec PF9 is another one. And the Ruger LC9, I mean, these are all single-stack 9mm handguns that conceal very well. And I think Glock needed to jump onto that market, too, and I think they've done a really good job with it.
Oh, they're marketing geniuses. I mean, they put out the 42 first.
Yep.
Let's put out a single-stack 380 and sell the hell out of that for a while.
Yep, and then sell the 9.
And then sell the 9. Yep. Yeah. I mean, how many 42s went for sale the day the 43 came out?
Oh, probably all of them.
Pretty much.
Probably.
Except for Stacy. I don't think Stacy dumped hers.
Right.
It is good to see that Terry got some way to carry extra mags, double mag holders, considering it's a single stack 9. It only holds 7 or 8 rounds.
Yeah, carry lots of mags with you.
Also interesting to note that I was reading in U.S. news, I just happened to know that Terry is from Maine. And Maine just passed in the House or in their Senate or whatever they have. They voted to get rid of permits, basically, for concealed carry.
Oh, very good.
They went to, quote-unquote, constitutional.
Yep.
That's awesome.
Now, it's not completely passed yet, I don't think. It has to go through the House and then be signed by the governor. But
they're on track for it. That's good.
It works. Yeah.
Well, nice. I mean, it makes sense. Like if you're a felon, you're going to carry anyway. You're not going to go apply for a permit knowing you can't get it.
Yeah.
So why make the non-felons apply for a permit?
That's it. And if you're not the type of person to carry as a regular lifestyle as it is now, and all of a sudden you find yourself in a situation where you think that you'd be more comfortable carrying, you don't want to wait a couple of months to go through the application process. If you feel that all of a sudden your life's being threatened, you know, you're getting threatening phone calls or emails or whatever, and you want to start carrying your gun now, well, now you can. Now you can just strap it on and go. And like Owen said, they're not the bad guys. The good guys aren't going to do anything, with their gun unless they need to. That's why they're the good guys. So you don't need a permit to say that you're a good guy. You are a good guy.
And I read the article that I saw on Facebook about it, and then I read a bunch of the comments. And see, you don't need a permit at all to open carry in Maine.
That's right.
Nope. Yep.
And so people were saying, well, what the difference between being law-abiding and an instant criminal is a shirt.
Yeah.
Because it happened to be cold, so I threw a jacket on.
Yep.
Now I was open carrying, didn't need a license, threw a jacket on. Now I'm a criminal because I need a permit.
Yep.
You know? So kind of similar with our paper crimes up here.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
Similar idea. So anyway, I thought that was interesting.
Non-residents can carry with a hunting license. Matthew and I were supposed to go. We had Tiffany on either this show or Canadian Reload Radio. I can't remember. She's the one that carries the Derringer. And we were going to go coyote hunting once with her brother. And,
yep.
Yeah, and I looked into it, and they were like, yep, you want to open carry a pistol, it's fine. Like, don't walk through Walmart with it. But if you're hunting and have a hunting license and you want to open carry a pistol while hunting, have at her.
Yep.
So
we should go do that again. And yes, by again, I mean we should do that for the first time.
Yeah, well, yeah, we'll be with her brother, but...
I talked to a border guard one time about that because I had my 6NIA at one time, and I was thinking about taking my pistol over to shoot with some friends I have over there. And he said, yeah, you can't do that. He said, yeah, you get your 6NIA, and you can come over if you're going hunting with the handgun or if you're going to, you know, have a letter from a course or a match or something like that.
Right.
He said, if you just want to bring it over to shoot, you can't.
Like at a friend's farm or something.
Yeah. Because we were just going to go to this guy's house and go to his back 40 and yeah.
So you could, but you just have to go get a hunting license first.
Yeah.
And you'd have to be in the season that you could legally hunt.
Right. Yep.
I guess. and that would have to be your purpose. Like, you know, he would say it was pretty specific.
I bet you coyotes are in season all year round over there like they are here.
Yeah, exactly. But it's kind of strange that you couldn't just, all right, I got a 6 NIA, and I want to go spend the weekend at my buddy's cottage.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. But again, are you going to show up at the border and say, yeah, I'm going hunting coyotes? Are you going to lie to them about it?
No, you wouldn't do that, but you just have to make sure that you went hunting coyotes when you went over there, and then also went shooting at your friend's farm.
Here's the thing. You have to have a reason to have a 6 NIA, so your reason could be that coyote license.
Yep.
Then you're not lying.
You don't. Well, you can get a 6 NIA now without a reason.
Oh, yeah? I thought it was either an invitation to a training course or a hunting license.
But you don't have to provide any of that to get your 6 NIA.
Oh, I did.
They changed that. I didn't.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, you just
accept that it's not awesome because you still can't take your gun over without a reason. So,
yeah, okay. We'll give you the, just to get it,
they don't require you to provide proof of a hunting license, or proof of a course, or something like that.
Awesome. Anyway, cool. Well, are we ready to jump into our Facebook questions?
I guess so. Yeah, we should.
We
got to
fly
these.
Through these. There's a lot of them, and we're running kind of long in the tooth now. So why don't we just alternate? I'll go first, then the next guy, then the next guy. So me, Owen, Matthew, me, Owen, Matthew.
Matthew, close enough.
Sound good?
Yep.
Matthew.
Matthew.
All right. So Jeff asks, which one of you would like to kiss my wife? All of us?
I don't know his wife. But I do know. I do know Jeff.
I'm sure she's a handsome woman.
He's married.
Well, I tell you what, Jeff. Jeff didn't finish the sentence with wife. I just improvised. Yeah. I don't know what Jeff wanted us to kiss.
I know what you just called his wife. Good thing his wife that he doesn't have one.
a handsome woman. What?
No, because he was going to say something else, and so when you put something else in, you're insinuating that his wife was what he insinuated.
Oh, wow, that's a reach.
That it's a something, and that was a long sentence.
All right, take
what's
the next one.
The next one.
Jesse asked, sub-$300 pistol that are worth something, worth shooting.
Worth a darn.
Sub-$300.
Okay, it's going to be 22.
It's going to have to be at that price, I would
probably
think.
Probably going to be used. Maybe a used GSG or a used MMP 22.
Can you get a used GSG for about $300?
$350?
I got a steal of a deal, and it was $250.
Okay. So, yeah, you could do that. It's going to be... Yeah, here's the thing. Sub-$300 is just brand new. I don't know if there are any. And like if they are, they're not going to be any good.
They're not going to be worth a damn. No. The first handgun offered to me was a used High Point. And it was still $350, and I laughed and passed on it. So you're looking at used 22s, single shot or single action 22s, you know.
Yep.
So sub-$300, that's worth buying. Good luck.
Good luck. Basically, yeah.
All right. Next.
Mark Lynn asks where to start. Mark Inlin. Where to start when considering setting up a new gun range? Call the CFO.
Yeah, we had a possibility of an indoor range here, and the first thing I did was contact the CFO to get the CFO's range standards for indoor ranges, so find out what their specifications are, what they require, et cetera, before you even... That will rule out potential pieces of property that
you shouldn't have bought. Don't buy property until you know what the standards are.
Yeah.
Interestingly enough, I have a little bit of background information on this because I've talked to Mark about this, and he was actually denied by the CFO trying to set up a range on his property.
Oh,
why?
I don't know. I don't think they would give him a reason. They just denied him. And yeah, he tried a bunch of different things, and they wouldn't let him do it.
Unbelievable. You know, if you own a farm and you want to turn one of your back fields into a shooting range, and it's hundreds and hundreds of meters away from everything else, like let's say it falls within the same guidelines for discharging a firearm during hunting season or whatever. Man. Yep.
Well, I was basically told here, you build it to specs, that's it.
Yeah, they want you to build it first, though.
Yeah. But the idea was, we're not, you know, no problem. You want to build it, it's just for yourself, no one else can use it. Build it, we come out. If it's up to specs, if it meets the law, then it's approved.
So it's where they told him no, and they said to you, yeah, go for it.
Well, I'm in New Brunswick. He's not in New Brunswick.
Oh, where's he at?
I want to say he's out west somewhere, like Alberta. Oh. But I'm not 100% sure on that. So right. Where he is.
So I guess province to province it varies, huh? I wish we had a law that was coming into effect that was going to stop that from happening. Oh wait, we do. All right, Trevor's back to you. Trevor is asleep. He fell asleep already.
Yes, Trevor is asleep. Mark asks, how many partridge will Matthew shoot this fall?
Partridge answer is none.
Yeah, none, because he's not going to Europe, Asia, or Africa, or even the Middle East, where they are native. So going probably none.
None. I will be shooting grouse. I'll shoot at grouse. Well, I'll look for them. Well, we'll see.
Well, depends if Matt is with you or not.
That's it. That comes down to him, man.
It does, yeah. So, Owen.
Andrew asked to hear about our non-competition guns.
As in our hunting rifles. Yes. I've got a Savage Axis in 223. Shoots lights out. That's really the only one I'm going to talk about because the rest of them are boring. Because they're hunting rifles and not competition.
I got three. I got my Thompson Center Venture Predator in 223, which was actually my very first firearm that I bought brand new from a dealer. I've got my Savage Model 111 Trophy Hunter, I think it's called, 30.6. And that's got a nice Vortex Viper on it, 3-9. That's my large game rifle. And then I've got my family heirloom Winchester Model 94-30-30, 1972 case-hardened receiver, a little bit of scroll work. So nice, I don't want to take it out of the house. It's kind of like my Model 29. You can look at it, but don't even ask to touch it.
Right.
Yeah, I've got, sort of same as Trevor, 30-30. But it's more of a truck gun.
Yours is a bit more beat up than Trevor's.
It's a used gun, definitely.
Used stuff, gun. Which is probably more than mine can say.
Yeah. Then I have, a really super traditional shotgun for grouse hunting. I have, that Kel-Tec KSG. And that's about it. I've got a semi-auto shotgun that I use for goose hunting, but I don't have any bolt action rifles. I have like a 22, and that's it.
That being said, though, if I could hunt with my competition guns,
I would.
They'd be the only guns I don't.
Yeah, an AR and a Glock. It's all you need, really. Yeah. AR with the 22 conversion kit and a Glock with a 22 conversion kit. You got four guns in one, or two. All you need is a shotgun. You've got basically all your bases covered.
Yep.
That'd be awesome. Why can't we hunt with ARs and handguns?
Because we live in Kanekistan.
All right. Next. Is it me?
Yep.
Jason asks, what are your thoughts on opening a gun range if your state or province does not have one, pros and cons? And if they have franchised gun ranges, if that would be good, or opening up one from the dirt up? Yes.
Yes, exactly.
Why wouldn't you? If you can, go for it.
Yeah. Well, if your state or province doesn't have a gun range, I think there's gun ranges in every state or province.
Right.
Pros and cons.
It's going to be a lot of work.
A lot of work. They cost a lot of money. They don't make a whole lot. Yeah. And basically, like, if you're doing indoor and you want to run green ammo or sell your own ammo or not allowed reloads, then you better open up in a place where the economy is strong and people have disposable income, because they're not going to buy your expensive ammo and you're going to go under if they can't shoot their own. So,
yeah, here's the thing. If it's in Canada, you kind of got an edge because people who have restrictions have to shoot at a range. If you're in the States, however, remember, people don't have to go to the range to shoot. They can shoot wherever they want. Well, within reason, of course. Yeah. So, I don't know. I'd look around and see if the economy will support one, or the market will support one in your area, and if it will, go for it. I mean, ranges can be profitable. You can make money at it, but it is a lot of work.
Yeah. And you need to look for the niche markets. You need to do specialty stuff. You need to have, if you're going to do an indoor range, you want, maybe look at having some kind of reactive targeting system or digital targeting system, like scenario type system. Things that are different and interesting that people will pay for and will travel to pay for.
As far as franchise gun ranges go, if there's a McDonald's of gun ranges and you can just buy into the franchise, that would come with a lot of advantages.
Yep. And a Big Mac.
Yeah.
Did I mention I'm hungry? I could eat.
You did, yeah.
All right.
Filthy asks, are we using pistols during the Thunderbird Carbine Vitals 2 class? If so, what's the round count? and what kind of holster are we allowed to use? Call Daniel.
Yeah, we're going to have to do that. We should have Daniel on again and talk about that some more.
Yes.
Because I think he was talking about transitions, so rifle to handgun. So, you know, I would say any holster that retains covers the firearm and covers the trigger guard. You don't want one where it's going to fall out, and you don't want one that's unsafe. So as long as it covers the trigger guard and it won't fall out, then you'll be all right.
And you can use a Serpa, just don't shoot yourself, because if you don't finish yourself off, I will.
Yeah.
So.
Owen.
Yes. Sean asks, what is a good caliber pistol for a new handgunner? I reload, so caliber price is not too important. Budget for pistol will be less than $700 new.
I'm going Smith & Wesson M&P9. You get a field kit with a holster, mag pouches, and 3 mags. Out the door, $650.
I'm with Trevor for once, oddly enough. It's because he's not talking archery, probably, but that's a good. That's a really good advice. Good advice.
I mean,
it's almost the only one.
Really? I mean, well
I mean, there's a few others, but yeah.
For what you get with that range kit, I mean, that's everything you need. You know, and if you're going to shoot IDPA or IPSC, just grab a few more mags and a belt, and then you're good to go.
Yeah, another mag pouch and another mag.
Yeah.
And you're good to go. So, I mean, 9mm, right? Because you said you reload, we didn't bother to say get a 22. 9mm, anybody can learn on a 9mm with the right amount of instruction. The M&P is a proven platform.
Yep.
And how do you beat that? 650.
You don't.
Tough, yep.
Yep. Red asks, Trevor now has a collection of Striker-fired handguns. We heard several reviews on them, but what is the range favorite?
Range favorite, like, just got to be the FN. If I don't shoot it as much as I could. I'm desperately trying to find magazines for it right now. Got a belt set up, got a holster set up. I only have 3 mags. I'm looking forward to shooting at least one production match with it, but just I don't want to shoot my competition gun, and I want to shoot a handgun, I'm going to the FN.
Cool. FN it is.
All right. My turn?
Yeah.
Yeah. Red asks, how does Owen's kids feel about drinking milk directly from a cow, cream and all? My kids won't drink it.
I can tell you how Matthew feels about it. It's delicious. I love having milk at Owen's.
I keep getting kicked in the head when I try to drink it directly from the cow, but... they love it. I mean, but they don't know anything different either. So,
yeah, that's a good point. But I do know the difference, and let me tell you, that's the way to go. I don't even like store bought milk. I can't palate it unless it's got strawberry or chocolate in it. Like, I can't. It's disgusting. But the stuff at Owen's, like, I'll go there and I'm gonna have a glass of milk. Owen's having scotch. I'm having milk. Yeah, whatever. Laugh it up, furball.
Funny. That was Matthew. You read the Sean one, right?
It's your turn.
Yeah. Okay. Red asks.
Kevin.
No, Kevin. Kevin asks, what are the essential mods for a new Glock 17 Gen 4 for general use, and where's the best place in Canada to get them?
New sights.
Sights and trigger. So,
Get by with the trigger. You need new sights.
You certainly can get by with the trigger.
Yeah. Especially, yeah, the Gen 4s are better.
Yeah.
But, yeah, the trigger's better.
He says general use. This isn't competition, he's saying. He just wants it for general use.
Still. I mean, you're still going to generally be more accurate with a better front sight.
Oh, no, that's what I'm saying. Front sight for sure. Like, get a new set of sights. And then if you want to, yeah, you should go.
Pijacon night sights. I'm totally sold on those.
I love them.
Best place in Canada. I don't know if you're going to get the Trigicon night. Yeah, you will, actually. Questar has a lot of Glock parts and a lot of Lone Wolf parts. I used to get my stuff from Zev and the Glock store. Back when ITAR restriction was $100, they seemed to ignore it. And now that ITAR has gone up to $500, they suddenly no longer ship to Canada. Both. So pee on them.
I guess Questar. So.
But Brownells, of course, if you don't mind. Like Brownells, I'll get stuff from Brownells faster than I'll get stuff from a Canadian dealer. But if you want to support a Canadian dealer, and that makes sense, because why would Canadian dealers carry stuff if no one's buying it? So,
yep.
Questar.
Cool. Brian from Valkyrie Defense Group asks, why does George Hatch have a man crush on me? Well, who doesn't have George have a man crush on?
Yeah, exactly.
George man crushes on everybody, I think.
Yeah, Brian.
And why wouldn't he have one on you? I mean, you're a handsome-looking fella. I don't even know who Brian is.
Valkyrie Defense. We're supposed to have them on eventually.
Yeah, we should have them on. Brian sounds like a very handsome fellow.
And a good firearms instructor.
Well, there's that, too.
Maybe that's why George is questioning.
Have I talked to you about Brian yet from Valkyrie Defense? Oh, the guy is such a good instructor.
Stop
Oliver,
it.
Oliver asks, why does a Canadian need/want a direct impingement AR in 7.62 by 39?
Why wouldn't a Canadian want that?
I only know one person that thought he needed it and wanted one.
That's okay, Trevor.
I've got one. Filthy's got one. Muffin's got one. George McCullough's got one. I think.
Look, here's. Can I answer this for you?
The only four in Canada.
The only four. Can I answer this for you, Trev? Because I wonder if I want to. If I got the same answer you do. Inexpensive ammo.
That's it, man.
It's less expensive than AR, even the non-corrosive stuff.
It's half the cost. You can get non-corrosive, lead core, jacketed hollow point from made by Dominion from Canada Ammo for $250 thousand. So
that's awesome.
That is awesome, and it's not steel core. It's lead core and it's jacketed hollow point, 123 grain. I'm all over that.
Still, and you're still shooting a cartridge that really isn't that great. So.
It's great for what we do. It's more than great, Owen, for what we do. We use our airs at a range to put holes in paper.
All we need are 22s.
But given the fact that it's jacketed hollow point and lead core,
you could use it for hunting if you got a 7.62 by 39, I don't know, CZ-58 or something.
Exactly.
Or VZ-58.
Exactly.
And, or if I had a Savage Axis, I could use 223.
Well, sure you could.
But the same argument applies. I can still use my other ammo.
Oh, absolutely. Process. I'm just saying this stuff's cheaper, so why wouldn't he use it?
So the main reason, Brian, it's cheaper. And even if it is corrosive, I have it on good authority from somebody high up. Oh, let's call him the president of NEA, that you can go ahead and put corrosive through the gun all you want. It's not going to rust. The barrel's treated. The gas tube is stainless. The bolt is treated. You're not going to get any rust. And if you do, send it back.
That's good to know.
Yeah. So they built this thing for third world countries to run a corrosive through it where they just don't clean their guns and don't want to have to worry about it.
Cool. All right. So, next one.
Who's up?
Owen.
Oh, no, he just did Oliver.
Christopher. Yeah, I just read the last one.
Oh.
Yeah.
So now it's you, Matthew. Matters.
Must be me. Christopher asks, what is the most polite way to tell a friend he wasted his money buying a 1911? There is no polite way. Just tell him he's a numpty.
Oh, we were supposed to review this beforehand. See what I put in italics?
Yeah, I see that. Plug in a toilet flushing sound effect. That's not going to happen.
Too much effort, huh?
Oh, there's way more effort there than I'm willing to put out.
Most polite way?
I would just go to the range with him, and every time it jams, go, I told you so.
Yeah.
That's not the most polite way.
Go ahead.
Every time he has a malfunction, you shoot your gun two more times. Get him to realize the error of his ways while he's clearing malfunctions, you're still shooting. Or you could say, see that right now? I'm still killing zombies and your brains are being eaten.
Yeah, there's that.
Don't shoot him two more times.
No. Just fire channels. Your gun two more times. Or just, I give up on being polite. Wait, I don't think I ever started being polite.
No, you never did, really.
Okay, just tell them. But the bloody things are hit and miss. We had a Ruger SR-1911 in this year's Black Badge, and it was constantly hiccuping. Last year at a Black Badge, I had a guy with a Nork, and the only time that gun stopped running is when I was out of bullets.
Just depends on the ammo, or depends on the gun, depends on a lot of factors. So, anyway, Trevor, I think you're up, aren't you?
Yep. Jonathan asks, sort of, we need an Arts Modem Hunter hands-on review.
I think it's modern.
What did I say?
Modem.
Yeah. I don't think there's a modem hunter. Yeah.
I don't know what an Arts Modern Hunter is.
Isn't that 308 that's being made up in Calgary?
Oh.
That looks like an AR.
Is that what he's talking about? If that's what he's talking
about.
That's
called? Oh, okay.
I don't know what it's,
It's a Modern Hunter, yeah. I've just never heard it called an Arts Modern Hunter.
Right. If you want to send me one, I'll review it, Jonathan.
There was a review done in Caliber Magazine.
Well, that's way less boring than me doing it.
ARTS stands for Alberta Rifle Tactical something.
Oh.
Right.
All right.
So generally an acronym has periods after every letter.
Or there it's at least capitalized.
Otherwise, it's a word. So we need... So
all acronyms are words. Anyway.
We do need one.
Someone should send me one of those rifles.
No, me.
I will review it.
No, me. I'll do a YouTube review.
Yeah, I can do YouTube too, but
no, mine are better.
Totally, but I can still do a YouTube.
Yeah, you're right. You could. She sent it to Owen. Owen needs it. I'll be busy with the BRS 999 that's coming.
Yeah, exactly.
So if you want the review to happen by the time these all Black Rifles are non-restricted in Canada, send it to Owen. If you want it done in a timely fashion, send it to McClatchy. If you never want to see the rifle again, send it to me. My name is now Jesus, and I'm moving away.
All right. Is this same person wants to know this next one?
Sure.
Well, also why the 260 Remington is the only caliber you need.
It isn't. All right, the next one.
At least in New Brunswick. It isn't.
The 260 Remington is a pretty cool caliber. Unfortunately, in New Brunswick, it's outside of our list of approved calibers for small game and varmint hunting, so there's no way we would get one here. But they are a cool caliber. You should look into them, listeners who
there's a
are
lot
looking.
Of guns outside of that caliber restriction that we have. What do you
You're
mean?
Right. And all of those would be a reason, or would all be calibers that are not the only one we need. Because that's the question.
Oh, yeah.
Why is a 260 the only one you need?
So if you live in a free province,
then maybe it is.
Is 260 the only one you need?
It still isn't.
Yeah.
Because have you ever seen a grouse hit with a 260?
Well, have you ever seen a box of 260 for sale in a store?
Yeah, no, but Matthew, 20 gauges in a caliber.
Yeah.
I mean, it's true.
For me, it's just in this neck of the woods, it's rare. When I think of 260, I'll be honest, I think of a bench rest rifle.
Yeah, that's me too.
You're more likely to see 270.
Yes. Oh, there's all kinds of 270 around.
270 all over the place.
But yeah. All right. He continues on. Maybe why the SIG is better than the Glock. That might take two shows.
No, it doesn't. It's very simple. It's not.
Yeah, there you go.
Nailed it.
And Trevor?
Well, still him again. Lastly, can Trevor shoot bullets through the SKS into outer space?
No, he cannot.
Only because he won't touch them.
Yes. Still him again?
No, I don't know, but it's Owen's turn.
Do you think that Matthew McClatchy looks like the gyrocopter pilot from the original Mad Max movie? Yes. Also, what characters would Owen and Trevor be if they were in the original movies?
This is Christopher Anderson.
Okay.
I should have guessed.
Yeah, so Christopher wants to know if he looks like the gyrocopter pilot from the original Mad Max
movie. I hope not.
Yes,
he's ugly.
I've talked to Chris about this before, and it does look like Matt.
Interesting. Huh.
I always did like flying gyrocopters. They're pretty neat little machines. But I wouldn't fly the one that's in the movie. The thrust line is way too high.
In the original movie, I want to be the dude with the hockey helmet.
Okay.
The bad guy.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mainly because he's the only character that really sticks out in my mind right now that I can remember. So, who would you be on?
It's been a long time since I've seen that movie.
So, just say Mel Gibson.
No idea.
Say Mel Gibson.
Okay.
There you go.
I don't want to be Mel Gibson.
Yeah, you do. Jonathan asks, I wonder if this is the same Jonathan from before. Since the SKS is so hated, why is your show named after its most famous attribute?
That's all I could come up with at the time.
That's basically it. It was like, that sounds cool. Let's go with
that. It's Thursday. We have to have a name.
That's basically what happened.
It's because after three episodes, we found out Shooting the Breeze was taken.
So like, we need another name. What can it be? Slamfire? Slamfire sounds good. Let's run with it.
Yep.
If the SKS in 1911 had a love child, what would it be? And would you name your future podcast after it? Oh, yes, we would. Yeah, it would be the Slamfire Jam-a-Lot. Welcome to Slamfire Jam-a-Lot.
High points rule. Jonathan continues and says, on a serious note, finally, do we have an NFA update since the NFA AGM debacle? Debacle and was right.
Yeah, and if you listen earlier, you will have heard that already.
That's right, yep.
So that brings us to Bolivar.
Bolivar asks, are the hosts bulletproof? Quantitative evidence to be supplied?
No, it isn't.
You guys go first.
No.
We'll see if you guys are bulletproof first and I'll go last.
I'm airsoft proof, that's it. And even that, only sometimes.
I don't understand the question.
Nathan asks, why does CGN suck and GOC rock?
My opinion, because CGN is full of too many pompous a-holes that are just looking for an opportunity to jump down somebody's throat. They spend more time on CGN than they do working on guns or shooting guns. Archery Talk is the same thing. Archery Talk website is full of guys that can't shoot a 300 but are trying to coach people on the internet. Give me a break.
There you go. And why does GOC rock? It's because it's the opposite. The people there are friendly. They really enjoy new people. They take the time to educate people and not yell at them and make fun of them whenever somebody makes a mistake. They're just more friendly.
And we have our own forum.
And we have our own forum there.
Was it me now?
No. Yeah, I think so.
Okay. Fred asks, when will Trevor own an SKS?
The 7th of never. Or October the 32nd.
Yep, that's about it.
It's funny.
Jazz asks, what's the best AR scope on a limited budget? Let's say 300 plus or minus. Quick little search of the internet. The best I could find would be the Norinco P223.
Do you want to try that again?
Read more than just the first letter, Trevor.
The Nikon P223. He's got Norinco rifle, so it was a 40-inch.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
The other one you might want to consider is that one I just did a review on. The Bushnell. I forget what it's called. The AR 556.
Yes, that one. My God, Walmart was selling those for like $180.
And they work very well. Pass.
Yeah.
I know I just have mine on a 22, but I can't see that being an issue. I mean, get the AR one, of course, not the 22 one, but adjustable objective, resettable click turrets. I mean, what's not to like? It's a really nice setup.
I was after that Bushnell one when I came home with my Leupold.
Yep.
So the Bushnell AR line and the Nikon AR line.
Can I read the next one? Because this guy's reading my thoughts.
Well, it's your turn.
Keegan the Commie asks, why is Trevor acting like a communist? He isn't the king of all guns. Yes, his opinion is noted, but he isn't running Cuba here, nor Russia, so he can't tell me I can't put polymer on my striking, stinking SKS. Also, I don't care if I'm on his Christmas card list this year.
Well, that's good, because you're not.
The next one says, I'll use it for target practice with my double-barreled 1911 or my tacted-out 30-30 lever action. Trevor is communism, just saying, smile emoticon.
Okay, so the spacing got messed up in the show notes, because that was part of Keegan's as well.
Oh, I see.
And smile emoticon, and the PS is also Keegan.
Okay, the question is, why is Trevor a commie, and Trevor, no, isn't the answer this time, sorry.
Because so Keegan's been posting pictures of SKSs and double-barreled 1911s and saying, do you like this? And I simply reply, no.
So we've totally messed up the order. Why don't you start off again, Trevor?
All right. Wesley asks, I shoot IDPA. How bad is my black badge this weekend going to mess me up? Kyle, so somebody messed with the notes, man. So Kyle also asked the same question. Because he can't read up so good. So, Kyle, you posted this after Wesley. So, Wesley, how bad is your black badge going to mess up your IDPA? It's not. The black badge itself is just shooting drills and shooting fundamentals and shooting while moving. There's nothing in a black badge that you won't find in an IDPA match. When you get to shooting an IPSC match, that will mess up your IDPA match if you carry that stuff over. You're going to get a lot of procedurals in IDPA if you shoot it the way you shoot IPSC.
But since he already shoots IDPA, he's just not going to do as well in IPSC if his IDPA carries over to IPSC.
Correct. There are a handful of top-level shooters in the world that shoot both and shoot both. Well, they shoot USPSA, they shoot IDPA, they shoot IPSC, and they can just make the transition from one game to the other and be competitive. Initially, you're going to want to pick one and stick with it. And, you know, if you want to be serious, don't jump back and forth. If you want to win at one, stick with one and get good at it before you start jumping around.
Yep. And we're coming up to a 2-hour show here soon, guys. We're going to have to step on it here.
Okay.
So I think it's Owen.
Oh, Jib Jab asks, how much would Trevor really hurt me if I shot his Model 29?
He would not hurt you a bit. You wouldn't feel a thing.
You wouldn't hear anything either. Why is Trevor holding a bow in his...
That's basically what would happen.
Mark asks... No, it's you, Matthew.
Oh, Mark asks, what's up with Canadian bacon? Partridge tastes better baked while covered with real bacon.
Canadian bacon is ham.
Never had partridge. Canadian Don't bacon. Know what to tell you.
Matthew asks, Campro bullets for 9mm. What are your thoughts? Also getting ready for my black badge. Any tips?
I run the Campro bullets now pretty much exclusively for all my calibers from 9 to 44 Magnum. I like them. They're actual legit full metal jacket. They're not a copper wash. They're consistent. I like them. I have no problem using them. I don't see a big difference between them and Canadian BDX. Tips for your black badge?
Practice. Go out to the range right now and practice. Shoot tight groups. Shoot small groups. Focus on your trigger press. Focus on your front sight. Know how to run your gun. Know how to clear malfunctions. Be comfortable with your gun.
That's it.
Yep. Beauty.
Sorry. Good?
Yep.
Peter asks, what do you guys think of the Medusa M47? I think if we could get them, they would be awesome. One gun, multiple calibers. It's a revolver. For the listeners who don't know, it's a revolver that shoots everything in .38 caliber. So it'll shoot .38, .357 Magnum, and then all the 9mm variants, the 9, the 9x21, the 9x23, the .38 Super, .38 Smith & Wesson, etc. Like, it shoots them all. It's an amazing little.
You may not be able to use your brass again afterwards, but it shoots them all.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool. Yeah, it's a neat little revolver. It's a revolver.
25 different cartridges.
That's cool.
That's amazing.
That's very cool. Werner.
Oh, 2.5-inch barrel.
Yeah. If you bring that out to a 5-inch barrel for us up here in Canada, 4.2.
Apparently there were longer barrels, but they're just not making them anymore.
Well, they need to fix that, don't they? Mm-hmm. Warner asks, does Kryptek tighten your group shots?
It does, but you can't see them because they're camouflaged.
Kelly asks, if Trevor is allowed to talk about archery on the show about guns and Owen can talk about raw milk, does this mean I can come on your show and talk about paintball? I mean, no. It's a sport that actually has guns, sort of, rather than string instruments or cows.
I'll talk paintball with you. In fact, I get a paintball game coming up. It's going to be fun. Going to shoot people. Going to win. Graham asks, are companies that sell reloading components via Facebook legitimate?
I think if all they do is sell on Facebook, you might want to be hesitant. But what company nowadays does not have a Facebook page? So do your research. And if they're a pre-existing company with a legitimate website, a telephone number.
Quite possibly.
In worst case scenario, you buy something very small, not very expensive. You know, you buy something, sure it shows up, make sure everything's good, everything checks out, and, you know.
And ask for references. Look at Mo. Mo runs NB Ammo Supply. He doesn't have a website. He's got a business card and a telephone number and a Facebook page, but you won't go wrong ordering anything from Mo. But he's not Canada Ammo. He's not that big, but you're still not going to get ripped off by him. So, you know, if you find something that only a guy on Facebook has, and you ask for a reference.
Yep, that'll work.
See if he's got a trader rating on CGN.
That'll work too. All right, last one.
Mike asks. Oh, sorry. Was
no, go ahead. No, go. Right.
Mike asks, what is your favorite shade of lipstick to use on a pig?
Fuchsia. Basically, fuchsia.
Black. Black. Really?
Black lipstick on a pig.
Well, we know what he's talking about. He's talking about putting a Tapco stock on an SKS, so it's got to be black.
Yeah, so I think Owen is right. My favorite shade of lipstick on a pig is Tapco. Yeah. Maybe ATI. Well, I did put some Magpul on a pig once. Mm-hmm. All right. So if you would like to email the show, you can do so at slamfireradio@gmail.com. We checked for iTunes reviews. Nothing new. We suck and you hate us, apparently. Shout-outs and goodbyes, gentlemen. I've got a couple. Anybody else have any?
No, go for it.
All right. Luke Giroux from Bang Switch Boutique. What did I say last weekend? Luke would pick up my Garand, right? I said that 40 times. Guess who's got my Garand?
Luke.
Yes, and I will have it on Friday. So thank you very much, Luke. To the Whale, Mr. Spencer and Shmirna, thank you very much for what you did. To Denicia or Denica.
Denicia.
That's it. You nailed it. Say it again.
Denicia.
Denicia. So to Mrs. Tom, thank you very much. To Steve, somebody can pronounce his last name for me.
Dan Kurt.
Steve. Yeah.
Steve. Steve D.
I was on an archery board, and and he piped up and said, "Hey, say hello to Matthew and Owen for me." So,
hi, Steve. Sorry, I messed up your last name.
I'm not. I totally set that up perfectly.
Yeah, he did.
So, yeah.
Dan,
so anyway.
Dan Kiert. I'm out.
Dan Kiert. I got nothing.
I'm pretty sure I screwed up Donitz's name too, so it doesn't matter. I'm messing up everybody's name.
No, I doubt it.
Tom will tell me.
So,
I've got a shout out too.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say I have a shout out to Becky, who is a former coworker who I just found out this past week listens to the show.
Oh, cool. Hi, Becky.
No idea. So, yeah.
Is that really how she spells her name though? Because that's not normally how you spell Becky.
Nope, that is how she spells her name.
Okay, Becky, you have an odd way of spelling your name. I like it.
She's British.
Oh, well, that explains nothing.
Well, I mean, we know that the English don't really speak English, so
right,
it's going to be a little bit off.
Countries spawn the blessed language and no one speaks it.
Yeah, I know.
So you had no idea she listened, but she probably didn't know you were on the show because you get in about 3 words an episode. So
yeah,
pretty much.
So. Awesome.
So Becky, write the show and tell us how you started listening.
Please do. And make it epic like Owen's first email to Canadian Reload Radio.
I have, that would be awesome. I have a shout out to my wife, Jewel. It's bloody hot here, and she just brought me a popsicle. So thank you to my wife, Jewel, for the popsicle.
Awesome. Shout out to Sean Bevan's wife for getting her pal.
Cool.
Yeah.
That's any other random shout outs here?
No.
Shout out to Random Dave from New Brunswick because he is Random Dave.
And shout out to Random Ontario Dave.
Because you can't have a shout out to Random New Brunswick Dave without having a Random Ontario Dave shout out. That's just a rule.
Right. Yep.
Hi, so. Daves.
All right, listeners. If you want to hear more tomfoolery from other people like us, only better, be sure to check out all the great shows on the Crusader Podcast Network at crusaderpodcast.com. Tons of great shows there from both sides of the border. Join any and all of our national firearms associations. It's important to support them. And be sure to check us out on the Gun Owners of Canada forum. As we mentioned earlier, it rocks more than the CGN one does. Like us on Facebook. We're now up to 1,205 and counting. So that's pretty respectable.
That's getting there. And I want to point out that we may have slammed CGN here a little bit. Maybe it's deserved. Maybe it's not. We do want to point out this is our opinion. We're not saying anything bad about CGN, except that we just don't necessarily like it ourselves. I still hang out on CGN every now and then. There is lots of good information there. It's just some of the users could just be a little bit more Canadian, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I see it as a necessary evil. I tell you what, it's not the users that get under my skin. The BS that they pulled with not allowing PressTech Ventures to advertise a perfectly legal product pisses me off, gets under my skin, and because of that, I've turned against them ever since. So
interesting. Yeah, good to know.
That's been
anyway. I just wanted to throw a disclaimer out there. That's all.
Yeah, well, there's my disclaimer. CGN, yeah, it's cool. Suck. I tell you who doesn't suck, our listeners.
You're right. They are awesome. And on that note,
thank you for tuning in. We hope you enjoyed the show, and stay safe.
Shoot straight.
Hug Ron Burgundy.
And awesome.
Owen, this week, say goodnight, everybody.
Bye.
So if you have any comments or questions for the show, please send an email to slamfireradio@gmail.com. Now go grab a gun and shoot something.
When the talking is over, it's time to get a gun.